This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, August 22nd. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. Redistricting bills approved. DPR appoints EJ panel. And trade agreement mostly garners praise from ag. Legislature passes redistricting bills. After a full day of floor sessions in both chambers, state lawmakers approved a legislative package redrawing the state's congressional map and teeing up a November election. Dozens of Democrats spoke on the need to counter the Republican effort to add more party seats in Texas. Co-authoring the central measure, Assemblymember Cecilia Aguiar-Curry of Winters framed the case around Democratic opposition to the Trump administration budget. Aguiar-Curry argued the spending cuts would slash $1.25 billion a year from food assistance, leaving 735,000 California farmers and working families at the risk of losing the CalFresh program. That would mean less fresh food for farmers to feed school children, she said. Backing the legislation, farm worker rights icon Dolores Huerta told a committee Wednesday the state needs to prevent such cutbacks. Huerta described the legislation as, quote, the only way we can defend the taxpayers and the people of California. But GOP lawmakers blasted the legislation, with the election likely to cost more than $200 million. They argued the money could be spent on more pressing needs for the state. Assemblymember Jeff Gonzalez of Indio pointed out that California's last sugar beet plant recently shut down at Imperial County, wiping out over 700 jobs in a county that already suffers 20% unemployment rate. He also called for filling reservoirs and doing real forest management. DPR appoints Environmental Justice Advisory Panel. The Department of Pesticide Regulation yesterday named 11 members and 3 alternates to its Environmental Justice Advisory Committee. Created by AB 652 in 2023, the new panel aims to incorporate more community perspectives into policymaking. Director Karen Morrison said the appointments, quote, bring essential community insight to the table and will guide DPR in ensuring decisions, quote, reflect the realities of all Californians, especially those most impacted by pest management decisions. The committee will advise on integrating environmental justice into programs and on improving engagement with communities that face the greatest exposure to pesticides. Its first public meeting is planned for late fall. The advocacy groups represented by the appointees include California Nurses for Environmental Health and Justice, Physicians for Social Responsibility, Californians for Pesticide Reform, Pesticide Action and Agroecology Network, and the Center on Race, Poverty, and the Environment. DPR says the committee aligns with its strategic plan to modernize pesticide regulation and bolster transparency and equity across the state. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. USDA unions demand data behind reorganization. Union locals representing USDA employees are calling on the Trump administration to release a cost-benefit analysis behind the department's reorganization plan. In a letter to Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins, the unions are also seeking the rationale behind choosing the 5 hubs where employees are being consolidated. Among the questions the unions are posing to the department, how were the hub locations selected? Were other locations considered? was the cost of this move weighted against alternate uses of funds, such as expanding crop insurance, supporting disaster recovery, or investing in commodity research? Did the department factor in the cost to the taxpayer of worsened services and decreased oversight resulting from staff losses? Without answers, this reorganization appears arbitrary and politically motivated. The unions also ask USDA to commit to releasing the public comments it has received on the plan. Meanwhile, a group of Northeast Democrats are complaining to Rollins about the impact of the reorganization on their region. In a letter, the lawmakers ask, quote, how will farmers in the Northeast be better served by staff hundreds, if not thousands, of miles away? What kind of expertise do staff stationed in the South or West have with the farming practices of farmers in the Northeast? The letter signers included Connecticut Representative Rosa DeLauro, the top Democrat of the House Appropriations Committee. U.S.-EU trade announcement cheered, mostly by food and ag. U.S. ag groups are largely welcoming the trade agreement framework released by the United States and European Union, seeing it as a needed step toward gaining more access to the 27-nation market. The U.S. has been a net importer of red meat from the EU due to the vast barriers the EU imposes on imports, and addressing the EU tariff and non-tariff barriers is absolutely essential for U.S. export growth. That's the word of U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom in a statement. He said he was glad to see a commitment in the framework to look at ways to minimize impacts of the EU's deforestation regulation on U.S. industries. The Corn Refiners Association also applauded the framework, which the EU Trade Commissioner called the, quote, first step in the negotiating process. CRA's President and CEO John Bode echoes Hallstrom's praise for the framework commitment to look at non-tariff barriers to trade in ag and food products. The Trump administration's prioritization of expanding market access for American agriculture is a welcome development, especially in important markets like the EU, Bode says in a statement. There's still more to do. The devil, as they say, is in the details, and more meetings and negotiation must take place to fill in the blanks. However, one provision of the framework that could benefit U.S. consumers specifies that as of September 1, the U.S. will only apply the most favored nation tariff rate to unavailable natural resources, including pork. AgriPulse has reported previously that the U.S. was considering tariff exemptions for goods such as coffee and cocoa, which the U.S. cannot supply on its own. Now take note, Distilled Spirits Council of the U.S. President and CEO Chris Schwanger says in a statement, we are disappointed that this joint statement did not include permanent tariff-free trade for distilled spirits on both sides of the Atlantic. Without 0-4-0 tariffs, American distillers do not have the certainty to plan for future export and job growth without the fear of retaliatory tariffs returning, Schwanger said. Well, here's today's final word. We can't wait to protect our state from water shortages. That's the word of Governor Gavin Newsom applauding the California Water Commission for setting aside another $219 million for the proposed Sites Reservoir project. That brings the total amount available from the Proposition 1 water bond to slightly more than $1 billion. Newsom urged the legislature to build on that momentum by approving an administration proposal to fast-track this Delta Tunnel project. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, August 22nd, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Allen.